This evening we're going to turn in God's Word to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, we'll read together, beginning at verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. We're going to end our reading there at verse 15. We trust the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word, for his name's sake. This evening I want us to think particularly on verse 6, where it says there, as ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Before we go any further, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless us as we are with him this night. Our Father and our God, again we are coming to thee in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus. It is our prayer, Lord, that as we now are with thee, that thou wilt bless us, that thou wilt meet with our hearts, that thou wilt give us the help of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we would pray that thou wouldst make thy word to be that which is a living word to our souls. And Lord, we would ask again that thou wouldst help us to learn of Christ. Lord, I pray now that thou wilt help me as thy servant. I pray that thou wilt give the leading of the Spirit of God. Put the blood over this time, over this preacher, over this congregation, we pray that we might be able to hear with unstopped ears and believed with opened hearts. And these things we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We are considering as our text then verse 6. I would like to speak to you on what I am calling, come with me to higher ground. Many of you are familiar with the writing of Bunyan, The Pilgrim's Progress. Central to every scene, I say, is the need to stay on the way toward the celestial city. The way, meaning the sure way. Now, there's sometimes when you read that book, it's very difficult to think or to see how it is that Christian, the main character of that book, is actually making any progress. He fights and fails and almost makes it look like he is going any way but forward. But he does end up where he is promised to be brought when all is said and done. The purpose for Bunyan writing that book was to show men the true nature of coming to Christ for salvation and the power in which they are to trust after they have been saved. This subject Bunyan took up only after it had been set forth numerous times in Scripture. In our text, Paul is very plain in his dealing with the subject. How am I supposed to go on with Christ? How am I supposed to go on with Christ? How do I find my way to higher ground? Well, I would say this evening that the answer to that question is not complicated. It is not hidden. The answer of the Scripture is simply this. The way that you came to Christ is the way that you go on with Christ. I say that's what the Scripture says here in verse 6. The way that you came to Christ is the God-appointed, God-ordained, God-blessed way that you go on with Christ. I have three simple points this evening. I want us to consider, I want first to think about that way, the way that we are to go on with the Lord Jesus. And again, I would center my thoughts around one truth that is set forth. And again, look at our text. As ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. I would say that that phrase, those words there, means that there is but one path that the Lord means for every believer to follow on in this life. There's only one way that the Lord means us to go forward with Himself. There is one single way that the people of God will go on with Jesus Christ. Now, the path that the Lord takes us on, or that way that we are to go, is described with various terms throughout the Scripture. It is in First John 1, called the light. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light. Matthew 7 and 14, that way in which we go on with the Lord Jesus is called the narrow way. Psalm 23 verse 3 says that it is the paths of righteousness. Jeremiah 6:16 calls that way of going on with Christ the old paths. Mark 3 and 35 says it is the will of God. But it's all the same thing. The man who is born by faith in Christ is to walk through this life by the same power that brought him to life. There is the point that Paul is making. You were brought to life by the power of faith given to you by the Holy Spirit of God. That is how you are to go forward through this life. But let me say this to you. It is not just by faith as a commodity. It is faith that is attached to an object. You were saved when the Holy Spirit opened your heart and opened your mind to see that Christ is the Savior, and you were led to believe on Him and you embraced Him by faith. Do you know that's how you go on through this life? You go through the days of your life walking with the Lord by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, so as to not be unclear, this is the way that God would have us to go through to Himself. It is the door opened. It is the way that God has made into His presence through faith in Jesus Christ. It is the way in which we have been given acceptance with God, through Jesus Christ. It is that way in which we will know all the mercies and all the graces given to us, through Jesus Christ. You know, it was sort of interesting when we were singing that hymn this evening. I don't know why I never saw that, or it never struck me the way that it did tonight when we were singing Jesus Shall Reign. Maybe you noticed it. That it says that of all the graces that were lost by Adam, more were bought by the blood of Christ. You gained, when you came to Christ, more was given to you than was lost. More became yours as an inheritance than what you ever had in Adam. Christ is the way in which we are to come to God. Christ is the way in which we are blessed of God. And I say you must go through the blood of the Lord Jesus for every need, for every difficulty, for every want, for every fear. Lift your heart to God, trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ, as we read here tonight. And you will have the help of the Lord. So I would suggest that we have here then, as under the heading of the way, our first subpoint, which means this, or I say this, it is the place of every believer to militantly cling to the way of the cross. It is the purpose, the plan, the will of God that every believer cling militantly. Now, is there a word that's stronger than that? Voraciously, meaning that you have an appetite that will not be. There is a. Somebody help me with a word that's stronger than militantly. I'm not sure I know. But you are to cling to the cross with all that is within you, not being willing to give up your faith in the blood work of Jesus Christ for any other method or way. It was sort of interesting that Bunyan, and I will refer to him a few times because he's on my mind tonight, a few times, more than a few times, throughout that book, offers other ways that men say you may come to God. How many of them are there? I mean, every other word, every other discussion, every other person that is met is somebody who seems to come with an alternate way of going on in what is supposed to be the way to God. Perhaps you will remember things such as Bypass Meadow, the two ways called Danger and Destruction. You remember what took place as they found themselves at the foot of the Hill of Difficulty. There's different things that were suggested. The one that strikes my mind even the most is one such way that was told to Christian that he should go by Mr. Worldly Wise Man. Maybe some of you are not familiar, but some of you are familiar, so I am maybe jogging. Worldly Wise Man comes to Christian and tells him, oh no, don't go in the way that evangelist tells you to go. Don't go in that way in which you find yourself relying upon the one who is the prince of the city. No, what you want to do is you want to go this other way that, as Mr. Worldly Wiseman says, is much more comfortable. Worldly Wiseman suggested that Christian go to the house of Mr. Legality, who was the son of Mr. Civility. And as he was on his way, being turned out of the way, he finds himself at the foot of the mountain of the law, and he hears the thunderings of God's own law and feared for his life, knowing that many had lost themselves at the foot of that mountain. One of my favorite parts of Pilgrim's Progress, other than my daughters know that I love the interpreter's house. I love all the pictures that are in that. But also when evangelist finds Christian again, having gone the wrong way, he says, and if you will allow me just a couple of phrases from this book, the evangelist proceeded saying, give the more earnest heed to the things that I shall tell thee of. I will now show thee who it is that deluded thee, and who it is also to whom he sent thee. That man that met thee is one worldly wise man, and rightly he is so called, partly because he savoreth only the doctrine of this world. Therefore he always goes to the town of morality, the church, and partly because he loveth that doctrine best, for it saveth him from the cross, and because he is of a carnal temper. Therefore he seeketh to pervert my ways. Now there are three things in this man's counsel that you must utterly abhor. Number one, that he turned thee out of the way. Number two, his laboring to render the cross odious to thee. And his setting thy feet in that way that leadeth unto the administration of death. I read that because there was something there in Bunyan's words that I think we find ourselves coming to or seeing over and again in this day in which we live, and that is that men would make the cross of Jesus Christ odious to the people of God. Oh, there's something better. There's something more effective. There's something that is new, and this is prosperous. The old way, the way that is stodgy and moldy, the old way of the cross. No. We need to have that which is centered upon the good of man, help of man, and so forth and so forth. Bunyan wrote, beware of the men who will turn you out of the way, directing you to some other way than the cross. The only way that you will be able to go on with God, that you will be able to go on with Jesus Christ, is by the way of the cross. By faith in what Christ has done, day by day, taking to yourself by faith, and taking to your heart and to your situation those graces and blessings that the Lord Jesus has purchased by His blood. Oh, may we have a desire to let go all half-hearted, nominal Christianity. Well, my second sub-point is this. Let every believer also head forth on this way to higher and higher ground. Let us say, we will not stay where we are. Lord, deliver us from stagnant walks. Deliver us from stagnant lives. Do you want to grow spiritually? Is it the prayer of your heart, Lord, I want to be more like Christ? I want to be useful for His glory? I say this is a right and appropriate desire. Do you want to be rid of the sins that plague? Do you want to be rid of the empty feelings? Do you want to be done with the dissatisfied heart? This too is a desire that is a turn toward righteousness. But how is that going to be accomplished? How are those things going to take place and be real in your heart and in your life? Now, what I'm going to say is going to sound too simple. And our minds generally tell us that there has to be more. But the answer is this. You are to have faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Period. Do you want to love Christ? Look at what He did. Do you want to go on with Christ? Look at what He did. Do you want to have the rid of your sins? Look at what He did. Fasten your heart and your mind on the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and you will find your way on to higher ground. What is it that the blood did for us? Did we read anything in the Scripture tonight that said what the Lord Jesus did by the shedding of His blood on the cross? Well, the answer, yes, of course we did. Verse 14. Blotting out the ordinances of handwritings which was against. This is one of my favorite verses of Scripture, and you all know that, I think, probably by this point. Not one single sin that was recorded by God. And understand this, God does keep track of the sins for which He will judge the people. But every single thing that could possibly be brought as an accusation, however remote, however quickly I forgot it, or anything that the devil could ever in the day of accusation stand and say, here's a reason why this one must receive punishment. Every single one of them has been taken out of the way and nailed to the cross. And I do not answer for those anymore. How is it that I go on with him? By believing that the Lord Jesus has made that possible through his blood, and that as I come to him now in prayer, he does receive and help on the basis of the finished work. Period. And my third thought here is this. Let every believer find this way as the sure way. Did you ever consider yourself as being at all unstable? Let me ask an easier question, and perhaps that you would see more. Have you ever known a time when you have said to yourself, I'm stable? Now, the answer to that one was easy, was it not? None of us, in and of ourselves, can say emotionally, mentally, and most importantly, spiritually, that we are stable. The only way in which the people of God are finding themselves to be on an even keel, or as the scripture would say, to stand on a foundation that is sure, to have underneath our feet, as it were, that which will not move, that upon which we can declare ourselves as standing on that which is stable, is to stand on the righteousness of Christ. Psalm 18, verses 35 and 36 says, Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet not slip. Psalm 121, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. On what is it that you stand that is stable? I have come to a great understanding, having read a book last week by so-and-so, and now I understand that I'm a better me. And because of that new evaluation of self and a higher self-esteem, I find myself much more stable. Am I being phony enough here so that you know that I'm mocking that, if you will? There's only one thing that you can stand upon and find yourself stable at all. The finished work of the Lord Jesus. You know, in Pilgrim's Progress, you find Pilgrim, Christian, walking on his pilgrimage on what was called the Narrow Way. Some of you have seen the artist's renditions. Some of the book is okay. Some of the book is a little bit over the top in my mind. Dangerous Journey. Our children have it. But there's the picture of Christian walking on that narrow way, and it looks like it's a cliff. You know, this like a foot wide cliff, and he's walking, and it swerves around and does little snake curves and that sort of thing. And on one side there's a dangerous drop off, and on the other side there's like a great morass of some sort that you would fall into and instantly drown or something. And it says, and as you read through that book, that he would hear terrible moanings and groanings, and it was the sounds of hell all around him for those that had perished having fallen off the narrow way. And you almost get the impression from that scene in that book that, oh, watch out, Christian, you could fall off one side or the other. My contention is there was no way he could fall off one side or the other because his feet had the glue of grace. He would not have been lost Of all that thou givest me, I have lost none. That is the way our Savior holds. There is for us, even though we walk the narrow way, a stability of going on with Christ, and the stability is that Jesus has shed His blood for us. We will not be lost. But we shall come home. The way, Jesus Christ and faith in His work. That's how we go on with God. Looking at the walk, which is my second point, the walk. Again, we would reiterate our proposition. The way you came to Christ is the way that you go on with Christ. To understand how you are to go on with the Lord, you must understand again how it was that you came to Christ. So I would suggest again at this point, I was weak, but He was strong. That's how it was with me when I came to Christ. Again, looking at a song here for a point. We all know the words to this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. What's the next line? They are weak, but He is strong. We like our children to sing that because it allows them to understand that they as little children can come to the Lord Jesus and they will be received. But you know, I think that the children that are being spoken there of are more so those who are the ones who are not yet in Christ. They are weak, but He being strong because of the love that He has for them saves them. Romans 6, 5 and 6 would substantiate that. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The plain truth about us is that we will never have any strength nor anything in ourselves that is of any power to take us on with God. But we might say, but I want a life full of strength. You know, that's a wonderful desire. For that can only mean that you shall have a life that is full of Christ. I want to be strong. Amen. That means that you must have much of the Lord Jesus. We came to Him in weakness, but He proved to be that one who is greater than our weakness, bringing us to Himself by the power of His own hand. Also, I would say, I was unrighteous, but He is righteous. When we came to the Lord Jesus, we came as those who had not a shred of righteousness in ourselves, and we still don't. All we have to ourselves is the old man and his ways. But when we came to the Lord Jesus, we were given a robe of righteousness. As Isaiah 61:10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath clothed me with the robe of righteousness. We are to see our walk in this light. I can come to the Lord Jesus with all my unrighteousness, however many, and however terrible they may be. And He will make me clean, and I will walk on with Him in righteousness. You know, again, perhaps you'll remember in Pilgrim's Progress, he was walking on the way, and he noticed a place that was called the Straight and Narrow. And on the Straight and Narrow, there was a wall on each side. And as he started to walk, he saw two men bound over the side of the wall and into the way. And the two men were saying how they knew that they also, like him, were going to find themselves in that place where they would know eternal life. But he said, well, how is it that it can be for you? You came not through the gate. You came not into it the way that we were told that we must come. And they said, well, it doesn't make any difference. But then there was the comment, but ye have not the garments that have been given to you by the king. There's the difference. Men may say that they can come into the way, they can go on to God, but without the righteousness of the Lord Jesus as the garment, that which is imputed to us by faith, no man shall see God, but shall, as the Lord Jesus said, be those that are cast out, as in the parable of those who came to the wedding without the wedding garment. I was unrighteous, but he gave me righteousness when he imputed his own righteousness to me. Third, I was dead, but he gave life. When we were drawn to Christ, we were drawn by a hand that was more powerful than the death within us. We were brought to life. We were quickened. Or as we read tonight, that we were rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. You know, yes, we have to admit that we sometimes have the scent of our former condition that comes over us. Our hearts are cold and dead toward the things of God. But when we have the life that is given through Jesus Christ, those things that you and I may have been able to do in the past, we can't do now. We can no longer go on in those ways, for we are different. We are now alive. We are not those who are dead in trespasses and sins. We are alive unto Christ. We have the Holy Spirit within, and no longer are we able to go on in those ways, content and pleased by those things. And also, I was sorrowful, but he gave me joy. But now the sorrow has ended. And those who are his will go on in joy, rejoicing that they belong to Christ. It is by faith in Christ, as you came, though we were deficient in every way, the Lord supplied for us all things when he saved us. So it is. It is that same way that we go on with the Lord Jesus through this life. And then this last, I'm done with this. My last thought is, what's the end product? What's the end product as we are those who lay hold of Christ by faith and we trust in the same power that saved us to take us on with him? Well, we will find first that we will walk with Christ. The Lord is in the way of the cross. And you will find him manifesting to himself to you as you walk on with him. So as he promised in John chapter 14, I will manifest myself to them. And then also you will find that the end product is that we will have the desires of our hearts. The Lord Jesus says, you shall ask what you will. You shall have the desires of your heart, as they are tempered with a love for Christ. As you come and you seek after Christ, you'll find that the desires of your heart will be given you. But here's my question. If you're in love with Jesus Christ, if you're seeking the Lord Jesus, what will the desires of your heart be? Do you understand that when you have Christ as the object of your faith and the object of your mind, what you're seeking after, the things that you are going to desire will not be the things perhaps that you would perceive just answering the question generally? The things that you'll desire will change. You will no longer desire the things that have to do with this old world. But you'll desire the things that have to do with Christ. That doesn't mean that you're shut off from the world. It doesn't mean that you don't have anything that you would say, Lord, I really need this or would like to do this or have this. Those things will continue. That's why I go out in the cold with Gary, because I desire something that has antlers on it. And it'd be nice that perhaps... But the things that fill up the heart, the things that make life worthwhile, become different. They become tied to the person of Christ. How do you go on with Christ? How do you go on with God? The same way that you received him. Again, as ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You receive by faith. You receive with a heart that was set on him when you believed. That is how you go on with God. A very simple thought, a very simple lesson. But again, one that is very basic. One that we need to have tempered in our minds and put into our minds. For it is on this that we must rely and lean. through the days that we would go on with the Lord till He take us home. Well, amen. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this evening. May He encourage us, not with ourselves, but with the fact that we have what we need in Christ to go on with God. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, again this night, we are thankful for Thy word. We pray, Lord, that Thou will bless it. We pray that Thou will use it. We pray that Thou will give us, Lord, hearts that do yearn after the Lord Jesus and find our satisfaction only in Him. Lord, bless now this congregation, Lord, as they would go before Thee in the course of this week. We pray that Thou will keep hearts and minds close to Thee. Lord, let Thyself be found and known and seen as Thy people trust in the merits of Christ. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.